Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone. Breaking It Down, Frank McKay here. Much more importantly, author, activist, and someone who is spending so much of the time in life bringing awareness to very important issues. The author of Now You See Me, from Endangered to Extinction, is the name of the book. Everyone get it. Everyone, it's a very important piece of literature, and it's all about the environment and saving species that we may not see, but thanks to zoos and other things we've covered, we will have polar bears and we'll have pandas and we'll have different things along the way, but we need to do much, much more than that. Diane Brisky, how are you?
I'm fine, Frank. I'm doing real good.
Yeah, you know, how much more, right off the top of your head, could we be doing here? And I don't think the current administration is getting high marks from anyone in the environmental community.
No, they're not. In fact, a lot of the organizations, at least that I belong to, and I get articles and updates on what's going on in Washington, they want, I think his first name is Scott, they want Scott Pruitt out. Right now he's the head of EPA, and he really is on the side of the oil companies, and he's not supporting like his predecessors, and that boils down to money from the big oil companies. I mean, you know, I'm be honest, I think it's kickbacks myself.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of countries now that are saying, no, you can't drill in any of the oceans around us. And there's one country, I think I mentioned last week, off the coast of South America. I don't know if it's Peru or Chile, but they turned that area in their oceans into a wildlife water marine preserve that they're protecting that part of their oceans. And more nations are starting to get involved because some of the companies that the fisheries are to the point where the fish are dying off or they're moving out and their industry is failing because those fish move to a different area. Yeah. And then they're overfished. So they're losing their economy, especially the countries that are big for ocean life for restaurants, you know, crab, lobster and all that, but they have certain seasons. So that gives them enough time to replenish that species. And what's happening now is some of these companies are investigating the emissions that are coming from the big boats that are not just the oil spills.
Yeah.
That are coming from the cargo ships that are going. But just the air pollution that is sinking down into the waters, and without the natural flow of things, it's just going right down, and it's killing the algae and the coral, which a majority of the species feed on. And now a lot of people know that the coral is dying off, because the water is getting warmer and they need that cold water to stay alive. And the same thing goes for the animals there that have the shells, the lobsters, the crabs, the shrimp. Their shells get soft and they die off. So it's affecting not just the mammals, the water, marine mammals, but it's affecting the fish and all of the species and the plants.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's it's very important. It's very important, everything that you're saying here, for people to kind of absorb and let us know what's happening. First of all, let me remind folks who are just tuning in, turning on their radios or turning on their computers, Frank McKay here with Diane Brisky. And, let me touch on something that that you said early on about Scott Pruitt, and that he, you know, might be, aligned with the oil companies. Some people have used the word shill. And I don't know, that I can make an argument against that. But there are some people who will tell you, even people, on the Republican side, people there that have used the word shill to describe Scott Pruitt, and that he's a shill for the oil companies. You know, not that he's, in agreement with them a little bit, or he leans that way. They have a kindred spirit, but some people, almost feel that he's handpicked by them and by his behavior. Now, I'm not passing judgment on it either way, but it's hard to argue against that logic. Just by his actions, by what he's saying, he disagrees with climate change. And again, I'm trying to be as fair down the line here, but he disagrees with the fact that there's climate change. I don't know anyone who disagrees with the fact that there's climate. How can you even make an argument that there's not a climate change? I mean, we're living in a world that's so much different as far as weather goes than it was when I was growing up. I'm 51 years old. And when I was growing up, as a 12-year-old, the weather was so much different. And I haven't really moved. I mean, I'm 50 miles from where I lived. Is it sensible to make any case that there's no climate change? I mean, am I going crazy, or is Scott Pruitt, the head of the EPA, is it shocking that he doesn't believe in climate change?
Well, I really think that he shouldn't be ahead of anything that says environment.
Right.
Because, and I think you're right, I think he is a shill. I don't know that much about government, but I'm under the impression that the lobbyists are the ones that say for Scott Pruitt. The lobbyists go to not just the oil companies, but other companies to say, yeah, this is a good idea. Pruitt's doing this and this. I think that's what they lobby for different organizations, but they have to have somebody big to back them up. I don't think there's anybody in the world that doesn't believe in climate change, except some of the people in the government. All you got to do is walk outside, for heaven's sakes. I mean, here in Michigan, we've got 65 degrees one day and 30 the next. We have not even an inch of snow, and the next day it's raining or the sun is out and it's warm. And what's happening now with the animals and the plants, usually this time of year, the crocuses and daffodils start coming up, and spring is... it's supposed to be warm enough for these plants to come out now and start growing. But what's also happening is that the animals that hibernate are coming out too early. And the plants that they eat are not coming up. So it goes in a vicious cycle. And, you could say, yeah, well, they can go out and eat fish and that. Well, the spawning season for some of the fish are not till later in the year. So we've got animals that thrive on the nutrition that comes out of the ground. But if it's coming out too early, they're the ones that are going to be in trouble. And the same thing for some of the insects, the butterflies are coming back because of the warm weather. Well, what do butterflies do? They pollinate, and so do the bees. But how can you pollinate when you have no flowers?
Right.
And people don't understand. Yeah, they're not going to be able to pollinate anything. There's no leaves or buds on the trees. and the climate is affecting that. Now, maybe the climate stays the same, say, in Antarctica and the Arctic, but they have seasons there, too. And if things are happening as fast as the environmentalists are saying, in 50 years, there'll be no polar bears.
Yeah.
And we're down to, well, unless you go to the zoo, and they're very successful in their species survival program. That's why I'm pro zoos, the way they're going about it now. Because animals that, there is one tiger, and I'm not sure, it's not a Sumatran tiger, but there is one tiger species that is totally extinct in the wild. They have them in the zoos.
Yeah.
So, and there has to be more animals that are on the brink of being extinct. The black rhino that just died was 45 years old. Well, he died of natural causes. I believe that one time he was in captivity, and then they put him back out. But they saved his sperm so that they, I guess there's two in that area. A lot of people think, oh, there's no more black rhinos. No, he was in the north.
Huh.
But they kept his gazpacho, as they say, so that they could inseminate the females that are left to at least keep that species going in the wild. Oh, there's a lot of black rhinos in zoos. And they are a very endangered species. And in the Species Survival Program, when you go to some of these zoos, you'll see a sign. And I know the one in our zoo has a rhino, and it'll say Species Survival Program. By the animals that are endangered at the zoos are now trying their best to have them reproduce in captivity. And that, we've talked about it before, having their natural environment. So they feel acclimated, they're calmer, they're relaxed, they have no fears. And that makes it more successful, because they may be extinct in the wild, but there is a place that you can see them other than eventually in an encyclopedia.
Let me just remind folks of who they're listening to. Diane Briskey's a wonderful source of information, bringing awareness to issues, environmental and animal life and wildlife. And Frank McKay here with the author of Now You See Me, From Endangered to Extinction. And, you know, Diane, I'm big on seeing wildlife in a natural state. And love to do it, but the folks at the zoos are doing such a wonderful job. I actually see the creators and the workers at the zoos as heroic figures, because they're saving species. I mean, they're saving what is basically become an animal genocide to for future generations to see. I mean, I can't say enough for what the zoos have done, especially over the last 20 years. Prior to that, you know, you might have seen, maybe even 40 years ago, people started following what I think the San Diego Zoo was doing, the Columbus Zoo was doing, and Cincinnati Zoo was one. And but now, you know, your local zoo, it sounds like it's doing incredible things. You can't say enough for these people. Am I right?
Right. That's true. They're very, very devoted. The zoos that I follow online are the ones that you just mentioned. Unfortunately, I do not support the zoo in my city.
You know,
I've worked there, and the organization, the higher-ups, the director, and that. Ours is turning into more of an amusement park than the animals. And people have complained. You have to walk so far between exhibits, you know, habitats. The habitats they have are fine, and they're expanding some of them so that the animals have more room. For example, our tigers, they have a small cement pond where they, you know, can go in the summer when it's so hot and cool off, or play with a small ball. But I don't even know if they're aware. Hello, tigers swim.
Yeah.
And you can go to, say, Cincinnati or one of the other big zoos, and there is like a big canal or creek that they will throw the meat or fish in, and the tigers will go in and swim and get them because that's their nature. And the same thing, we have a great, I mean, big compound for our chimpanzees, which is, in my opinion, too big. Yes, they have trees. We don't have that many chimps, but it's big enough that the keepers go out and they throw food and they hide it. That's a way of them getting motivated. And they do the same thing for, like, our lions. They'll take pieces of chicken and stick them up in a tree. Or the bears, they'll put fruit inside some of the hollow logs so that they have that natural hunting for them. And incentives is what. And they'll even make paper mache. For example, at Easter, they'll make paper mache Easter eggs, pay them and everything. And inside, like for our chimps, they'll have pieces of carrot. They'll have lettuce, different kinds of fruit. And they sit and tear them apart, and, you know, they've got something. And that's what they need, because you can't just have them, you know, sitting around, climb a tree and that. You have to do something to keep them occupied. Otherwise, they're just going to be laying there doing nothing. And the bigger the habitat, the more they have to roam. And sometimes you look in a habitat, you can't see that animal. You know, like the snow leopards up in a tree, you know, look up there. But you're right. I mean, the I'm an advocate for the big zoos, not the ones that you can drive through. I think that really is a stupid idea. I mean, you drive down or you drive through Yellowstone Park and you have to stop because black bears and their cubs are walking across, or the buffalo are roaming on there, and they have the right of way. Hey, this is our land here, yeah. You know. And the one thing that the Trump organization wanted to do was take some of that land, and they wanted to drill on it. And that is, that's a national park. You know, if you're the president, you're supposed to be supporting that.
You know, at all costs.
I don't understand how they know in that particular area, Yosemite or Yellowstone, how do they find out there's oil under there? Who cares?
Yeah.
You know, they're going into the land, they're going into the ocean. They're spending all this money going up to the moon. Well, hey, take your little moon buggies up there and drill and see if there's oil up there.
Yeah.
You know, money is being spent, and it's not being spent in the right place.
Yeah, you're 100% right. I mean, we have to protect that land at all costs. We have to protect that environment at all costs. It's one of the few places left on the earth where you're going to see these species. And you'll be able to see them, and children will be able to, you know, experience them without going to the zoo. And again, I'm all for
right.
the zoos. Don't get me wrong. I'm 100% for the zoos. But if you get a chance to see them in the wild, get to see them in the wild.
Right.
Again, we got about a minute and a half left in this show with Diane Briskey. Diane, do we have you for a second show today?
You sure do.
Diane Briskey is the author of Now You See Me, From Endangered to Extinction. Wonderful advocate, and we're talking about very important things here. In less than a minute, Diane, can you leave us with a thought?
Well, they have put one more animal on the endangered species list, and that's the African lion.
Wow. Wow. That's scary. I just, in Tanzania, I saw 32 of them last year when I visited there, and I saw them from a vehicle, and it was just amazing. I got amazing pictures. To think that those animals may not be available to be seen is just absolutely disgraceful. Hopefully, we'll be able to bring awareness there. Just sounds like we're losing, but next time we speak, Diane, we'll get into a little more of that. Maybe we could start with the lions, because that is terrible. That is terrible news. Diane Brisky, you want to thank you very much for being here and all the wisdom and all the thoughts. Diane, are you there?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in. Frank McKay signing off. Diane Brisky has been our very special guest, part of a continuing series with her on the environment. The name of the book is Now You See Me, From Endangered to Extinction. Please get the book and binge listen to everything we've done here, all the shows, and no particular order, just listen. Frank McKay signing off. Diane Brisky, see you all next time on Breaking It Down.